Well, no one knows exactly what they discussed, but the idea was that great contributors to the liberal and literary arts
was planned all
behind closed doors to enlighten each other.
Don't expect to hear from you on this subject again.
It's absolutely nothing. It's some dude that looks like you.
I did what everyone else did. I wasn't the only one there. I'm not naming names, but there were a few other people picking through the place. I'm not proud of it, but these were hard times. They'd gotten rid of everything that wouldn't burn, I guess. They were gonna burn everything else, so I grabbed a few things. I wish I hadn't.
During my last episode, I announced my intention to speak with Josh Strickens, the individual who attacked me as I was walking back to the Crescent House bed and breakfast after my 20th high school reunion. A lot of you have contacted me since then, explaining how unwise it is to continue down this path. Well, that was his voice. He messaged me in response to the last episode, and I called him back. My plan worked, and now you get to hear what he said. This is the Disappearance Podcast, Episode 5, The Owl in the Fountain. Josh contacted me the day after my last episode was released. He said he spoke to his lawyer first, who explicitly advised him against speaking with me. But, as it turns out, Josh had as much a desire to figure things out as I did. At least, those initially appeared to be his intentions. When we chatted on the phone, he did not speak of the attack at all. But rather, he had a proposition. He suggested we exchange 3 questions each and part ways forever. It was a melodramatic way to go about the conversation, but I agreed. He sent his number, and we started with his questions first.
When was the last time you were in Barton, New Hampshire before the weekend of your reunion?
10 years ago, I helped my parents.
The birds are flying downward. The owl in the fountain. 1 white giraffe.
What?
Are you familiar with the painting?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Fine. I'm done.
You can ask me another question.
Listen, I should end the call. Are you going to ask me anything or not?
Sure. When you confronted me that night, you asked if I was Johnson or Reynolds. Were you referring to the 18th century guys? Samuel Johnson and Joshua Reynolds?
Not really.
Not really? What does that mean? Either you did or you didn't.
Is that your question, or do you have another question?
I guess I have another question. Where did the names come from?
They came from a book I picked up at the Glamis place. It was like a diary or a journal, I guess. I did what everyone else did. I wasn't the only one there. I'm not naming names, but there were a few other people picking through the place. I'm not proud of it, but these were hard times. They'd gotten rid of everything that wouldn't burn, I guess. They were gonna burn everything else, so I grabbed a few things. I wish I hadn't.
You were at the Glamis cabin the night before they burned it? Whose journal was it?
I don't know. The old man's probably. Sam Glamis. It wasn't a journal about life stuff. It was more like a research journal. And I'll save you the question before you ask. I don't have the journal anymore. I did what I should have done with it in the first place. I burned it the day after our little incident. That was after I was released by the police. Taking that book was a mistake. You and me, that was a mistake too. I'll regret that mistake every time I have to check in with my probation officer. Honestly, I don't know either of those guys until I heard your podcast. Johnson, Reynolds, I mean. The names were in the journal, though. The journal said that Johnson is ours. Reynolds is the other. All that fantasy stuff got in my head. As it turns out, I'm susceptible to nonsense, especially if I've been drinking. The night I confronted you, I was pretty loaded. I'd been drinking all day, and I regret every moment of it. It was nonsense. All of it. I'm in recovery. I'm working on sobriety right now. That's my focus.
What did it mean that Johnson is ours, Reynolds is the other?
Sorry, pal. That's three questions. Time to bother someone else. I heard in your podcast that you're coming back here to look for the other you. If I see you on the street, then I'm walking the other way. I suggest you do the same.
So, there you have it. I want to thank Josh Strickens for speaking with me. I would say he sounded somewhat remorseful. It sounds like our incident, as he calls it, is part of a bigger issue he's dealing with personally. So I'm going to let the recording of our conversation stand on its own without further comment.
Paint a picture of what you see when you look at me. What will those abstract shapes turn out to be?
At this time, I would like to reveal that I'm recording this episode in what is called the Blue Room at the Crescent House in Barton, New Hampshire. It is called the Blue Room because of the blue walls, blue curtains, and a blue bedspread. I've been here since last night. I ended up taking some vacation time, and I plan to stay a few more days as well. I wanted to come back here and get a better sense of the place I left behind. I thought maybe I could find a few more people that could talk about Alistair's father, Sam Glamis. Also, as you know if you've been listening, I'm looking for my double. My journey here started last night with a conversation with Sarah Fillingate, the owner of the Crescent House. You may remember her from our conversation in episode 2. She began by making a confession about that first meeting.
So now you're revealing that you're pretty sure that I was lying the entire time.
I thought you were lying to me from the start. I've seen you at the library multiple times, recently even.
Are there any particular times of day that you saw this person? I have a suspicion that Josh Strickens may have thought that I was this person. I think he confused us when he attacked me. He didn't say it, but it seems pretty clear.
You usually come in during quiet times during the week. Right around lunch.
What do I do? Or rather, what does the other me do?
You go to the basement.
The basement?
Yes. There are books down there. You know, it feels silly even now having to tell you these things. I feel like you were just there the other day.
I decided to make a visit to the Barton Public Library. I figured if I was going to bump into myself, then that would be the place to do it. I expected some strange looks, but the librarians were pleasant. Honestly, I didn't spend a lot of time at the library as a kid. I walked by it enough, though. The Barton Public Library is small. According to the number engraved in the granite above the front entrance, it was constructed in 1892. I decided that I would look around for a bit before planting myself near the door with a book. I wanted to be in a good position in case the other me arrived. While I poked around, I noticed there was a New Hampshire author display with names like Rebecca Rule, Catherine Towler, and James Patrick Kelly. I grabbed Kelly's book, Think Like a Dinosaur, which turned out to be a collection of science fiction stories. I was there all morning. I ended up reading half the book before I started getting hungry. I guess I hadn't planned my library stakeout very well. At this point, I still hadn't been to the basement. So, before I headed out for lunch, I decided to take a look around below. Since there was no one down there, I also decided to do a little on-location report with my phone. Hello, I am currently in the basement of the Barton Public Library. It is pretty quiet down here. Some of the only sounds I can hear are my footsteps on the carpet, and there's a grandfather's clock over there. Okay, as promised, there are books down here. The room is done up like the rest of the library with long, tall shelves. Unlike the upstairs, there are no comfy seats. And since there are no windows, there is a subterranean quality to the place. It feels like a bomb shelter or some kind of bunker. It's also pretty cool down here. It's like the temperature is cold. Even the books are cold to touch. Wait, I think someone's coming downstairs. Someone was coming down the stairs, but it wasn't the other me. It was a librarian shelving a book. I took my disappointment as a sign that it was time to get a grip on reality. Well, at least it was time to get a sandwich. I left my car parked at the library and walked across the town square to the country store. There I remembered the woman behind the counter as the same woman who sold me a sandwich a month ago. I even mentioned her in my second episode. She had recognized me then as someone she had seen at the post office. Of course, whoever she saw at the post office was not me. There wasn't anyone else in the store, so she agreed to a quick interview from behind the counter.
My name is Tammy Morlick. I work at the Barton Country Store. I've worked here for 12 years now. I do it all. I even made that sandwich.
Thank you, Tammy. I look forward to the sandwich. I have a kind of strange question for you. Have you ever seen me before?
Yeah, of course. I don't usually see you in here, but yeah, I've seen you around town.
Do you remember the last time you saw me?
You're right, this is a strange question. I would say maybe a couple of days ago at the post office. That's where I usually see you.
I'm sending things, like letters?
Yeah, like letters or picking them up, I guess. That's what you do at a post office. Do you have a sister?
I do. I have a younger sister named Talia.
I think my oldest sister Jessica was in her class. I remember you now. It's been a long time.
Right. Jessica Morlick. We were in band together. That's your sister? Small world.
Not really. Everyone's related somehow around here.
I ate my sandwich as I walked back across the town square. Meanwhile, I started pondering if this was it. This little trip was probably the last time I would ever step foot in my old hometown. Along with all the amateur sleuthing, I think maybe I was coming back to say goodbye. Despite my hopes, every investigative path was a dead end. I had no answers to the mystery left behind by the disappearance of Alistair Glamis. I couldn't even get a straight answer as to why I was attacked. As I stepped into the library, I received a startled look from the librarian behind the counter. I asked her if something was wrong. She said that I was quick. I asked her what she meant. She said that she just saw me go down into the basement. I scrambled to get my recorder out.
You're just going to record my voice? I guess I don't need to touch up my makeup.
You just said I was quick. Are you positive you just saw me go down into the basement?
I would say you were more than quick. I would say you were still there. But here you are, standing in front of me. You gave me a heart attack.
there was a man in the basement of the library. He was standing among the shelves. He had a book in his hand. He looked up. We made eye contact. And a terror grew inside me that I have difficulty describing in words. It was a very, very strange and unsettling feeling. He was not just a person who looked like me. He was uncanny. It was like I was looking at myself. In my next episode, you'll learn what happened next. In the meantime, I invite you to visit disappearancepodcast.com. If you are a Facebook user, then use the search box to find the Disappearance Podcast. All three words together should bring it up. Thanks to Josh Strickens, Sarah Fillingate, Tammy Morlick, and the librarian at the Barton Public Library for making this episode possible. I'm afraid I got the librarian's permission to record her voice, but I did not get her name. I was distracted. Thanks also to Tori Miller of Four Hands, Prom Queen, and Ben von Wildenhaus for providing the music. This show is a co-production with Partners in Crime Media. Please take a moment to rate and review this program on iTunes so the word can spread. Thanks also to Sean Crapo, Angel Smith, Marina Altschiller, and Tara McDonough for the support. Let's talk in 2 weeks. Partners in Crime Media.